And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And, oh, it's a pretty day today. Got snow. We got blizzarded this week. But, hey, praise the Lord. It's most of it's melting. We got the tractors and got everything all cleaned up where we can get around and feeding. And praise the Lord, we need the moisture. We always do. And our Heavenly Father, in His infinite and unending mercy and grace and just knowing what we need, well, He gives us this moisture here and Colorado as well. Drove down to saw the church today and met Brother Shane and I down there, and we were sweeping and shoveling off the walks and just tons of snow. Praise the Lord. We sure need it out here. And I spoke with some of the brethren across the country getting good moisture, and so we are sure thankful for that. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. I thought we'd talk about some current events, the Brussels bombing. I've got a couple news reports on that. Thought I'd share some of my thoughts with you, and we'll sure open the phone lines up and if you want to share your thoughts, because I think that this is it's a precursor. I think it's a precursor. The shape of things to come, so to speak. And so we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And like I said, I'll give you my thoughts, and we'll have the phone lines open if you want to share yours. But let's go to our Heavenly Father for a word of prayer first. Well, Heavenly Father, good evening, and thank you for this beautiful day of life that you've given us, Lord. This opportunity to breathe your fresh air, Lord, to share your word, your truth, your loving kindness with others. Lord, thank you for the life itself that you've given us. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on that cross to redeem us, your people Israel, to show us that even though we have sinned and fallen away, that you made a way. You made a way for us to return to you. And Lord, that is our prayer for your remnant, Lord, for your people scattered throughout this country and scattered throughout the world, is that they would repent and return to you. For we know, Lord, that when that happens, that there is nothing that you will hold back, nothing that you will not do for your people when they return to you. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your promise. Lord, I thank you for our pastor who, Lord, worked here, who built this ministry, built it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to be here to help continue that on, to help continue reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen us, guide and direct us, Lord. Help us to continue to encourage your people, Lord, and help us to continue to open their eyes to the lies that are put out by the enemy, the lies that are put out by the media. Lord, help us to open their eyes to the truth of your word. Help us to continue to build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, as we continue to reach the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. We thank you, Lord. I pray you would be with me tonight during this broadcast. Be with your remnant, Lord, and let all that we think, say, and do be a blessing to you, Lord. Let it bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And again, we're coming to you from the Radio Ranch outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and it has been it's, as we say out here, springtime in the Rockies. You might have 70 degrees one day, although we haven't hit 70 yet, and then 20 degrees in snow, but praise the Lord, we are, well, blue skies today, how about that, and melting snow. And so, if you've seen any of the news lately, you've seen and you've heard about the bombing in Brussels at the city's airport and subway station. I think around 36 people were killed. And ISIS, of course, has taken credit for this. Had a couple quotes here from Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, USA retired. And this came, He's a senior fellow for national security at the Family Research Council. And a couple quotes here that I thought I would start the program off with tonight, because I think it's important that we see, we're seeing what's happening overseas in Europe to our neighbors, to our cousins over the pond, so to speak. And there's a reason why it's happening. We'll talk about that tonight, but let's talk about what's happening. So what this analyst, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, USA retired, is saying, it's saying he's concerned about these radicalized Muslims being among the population of Europe, and specifically some certain ones. And he says there are 5,000 of these radicalized Muslims in Western Europe who have returned after fighting in Syria. They are trained jihadists, people who are accustomed to killing and maiming. And you might think, well, you know, we've heard that, we've seen that. What's the big deal? Well, the bombs that went off. Now, this was a quote, and this I haven't seen on any local. I only watch the news on the. I don't even watch the news. Just see a little bit when I pull up on the internet or on our SFAW newswire, or emails that people send. But I saw nothing about, just that the bombs were there and they went off and this and that. But let me give you a quote from Lieutenant Colonel McGinnis. The bombs in Brussels went off right outside the assembly area there for American Airlines and for Delta Airlines. So they were strategically targeted. And so these bombs weren't only targeted at those in Brussels, but at Americans in Brussels. Now, how about that? How about that? And that's what I think is very important. And that's what I think that we're not being told here. That certainly our neighbors, our cousins, are being hammered overseas. But guess what? It is happening here as well. Okay? And, of course, can't show you the picture, but they showed the picture of the two, dark, swarthy Muslims, is all you can say, Middle Easterners, Muslims, that they say are responsible for the bombing. I have a quote here from Geert, I think is how you say it, Geert Wilders, the Dutch Party for Freedom leader, PVV leader, and prominent counter-Islamist campaigner Geert Wilders. And I got this from, I had to get it from Breitbart in London, because again, I've seen nothing on it here in the United States. And here's a couple quotes. He says, this is just the beginning, and here's a quote, we ain't seen nothing yet. According to Europol, 3,000 to 5,000 European jihadists who went to Syria to fight in the ranks of ISIS and similar terrorist groups have meanwhile returned to Western Europe. Some of them hid among the hundreds of thousands of Islamic asylum seekers that entered Europe from Asia and Africa. And so we are seeing that there are some over in the European nations that are speaking out, that are saying, hey, this is what's happening. Now, folks, does that sound familiar? Because there have been some people here in this country doing the same thing, speaking out, saying, hey, wait a minute, excuse me, we should not welcome these terrorists with open arms. We shouldn't make it easier for them to get into the country. Here's another quote. European Commission insider Herman Kelly also told Breitbart Radio in London. He was concerned. He says, this is amazing to me. These people can kill people abroad, meaning those 3,000 to 5,000, fighting in Syria and learning how to kill and maim there, that they can kill people abroad, come here, and then walk free in the center of Brussels. And so, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And on this, Geert Wilders' remark, returned Syria fighters are a huge threat. They're dangerous predators roaming our streets. It's absolutely unbelievable that our government allows them to return, and it's incredible that once returned, they are not imprisoned. In the Netherlands, we have dozens of these returned jihadists. And so that is one of the things that open borders has done in the EU. Oh, it's great. People can travel from here to there. And remember, that's being pushed and promoted, and that's what's desired here in the North American continent, that on the North, what do they call it, the NAU, North American Union, and the Amero instead of the Euro. And so those things are in place and have been put in place. It's just a matter of them being implemented. Another quote, the government must also close our national borders. The European Union's Schengen zone, where no border controls are allowed, is a catastrophe. The Belgian-Moroccan Salah Absalom, the mastermind of last November's bloodbath in Paris, traveled freely from Belgium to the Netherlands on multiple occasions last year. And the continued quote here from Wilder, this is intolerable. Open borders are a huge safety risk. Our citizens are in mortal danger if we do not restore control over our own national borders. Now, you didn't hear anything like this at all when the EU was being proposed, when they were proposing the open borders. But you're hearing it now. You're seeing the results of this unlimited, unfettered, unchecked immigration invasion that is occurring over in Europe. Our people are being killed. Our people are being robbed. Our people are being raped. They're being bombed and killed like they were in Brussels. And it's like, where? And when does it end? Where and when? Well, according to Geert Wilders, and he's what you'd call a right-wing conservative over there in this Dutch Party for Freedom leader. He's against the Islamists coming in and overtaking his country. And, you know, you hear it over there, and they are living it and seeing it. I got a report here. Let's see, who'd this come from? It's called Vacation in Sweden. And the heading here, and I'll be glad to send this to you. I don't have time to read through it tonight. But it was a several page, oh man, like 11 pages here, talking about the total failure of multiculturalism in Sweden. And it's titled A Factual Exposition. And it talks about all of the massive, and again, the word that the world uses is immigration. It's an absolute invasion. Like between 1998 and 2015, the net immigration in Sweden has increased from under 11,000 a year to over 78,000 a year. That's legal immigration. Who knows what illegals are coming in? Who knows? So if you'd like these numbers on Sweden, I'd be glad to send them to you. It's nothing new, but how it talks about the... Let's see here. There was one that really caught my eye. Five thousand incidents of crime at asylum centers between October 2015 and the beginning of January 16. That's in 3 months. 5,000 incidents of crime in the asylum centers in 3 months. You thought that Nogales, Texas. You thought that South Texas and South Arizona was bad. In Southern California? Says here, fire and ambulance services require police escorts to enter certain areas called exclusion areas, and even journalists are being attacked when they go in there. The ambulance union in Sweden has requested military-grade protection like bulletproof vests and helmets. And so it's not just, oh, well, there's a bombing every now and then, and there's a rape every now and then. The entire culture there is changing. It says here the how about the gross domestic product? How about the cost? It says here that in the IMF report republished at the beginning of this year, for Sweden, the asylum budgets to pay for this have to increase to around $60 million, which is three times what it was 2 years ago. Okay, and so that's just Sweden, not to mention Poland and the Netherlands and everywhere else over there in the EU. Now, you may think, well, that's there, this is here, they deserve it, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, do you remember the story of God and his bride and how he divorced his wife? You know, and he thought, you know, I've divorced you, but, you know, I thought your sister would look and see how bad you've been and what I did to you because of that. And I thought that she would repent, but she didn't. She was just as bad as ever. And we are seeing that very same thing happening today. We are seeing our cousins, our neighbors, our racial kinsmen, who, you know, Europe has been, the European nations have been Christian for almost 2,000 years, 1,500 years at least from the time of Glastonbury, the time of St. Patrick that we talked about on St. Patrick's Day. They have been Christian until now, until the last few generations. And you may wonder, well, you know, we'd never allow that over here. They come over here, we got our guns, we'll never let them rape our women, we'll never pay that kind of money. Oh yeah? We're seeing it happen here. And one thing that has been going on over in the European Union about this is no dissent allowed. You can't. If you speak out against these invaders that are bombing their airports, raping their women, stealing their money, that the those in the EU have to pay for, well, you're a Nazi. Let me read you this here from this article about Sweden. If a person publicly questions the mainstream narrative and top-down practice of mass immigration, I say invasion, and refugee intakes that are altering Sweden from the outside in, and the multicultural policies that are altering it from the inside out, they're likely to be called xenophobic, fascist, racist, or Nazi. Critics of immigration are being hunted down, exposed on television, and intimidated like a 21st century televised witch hunt. January 1st of last year, a new law was enacted that allows for criminal prosecution in Sweden of anyone who is critical of immigration. And if we get President Hillary next year, don't think the same thing won't happen here, folks. You might say, why? Why? Well, I think we can go to Joshua 23 and see why. Joshua here, you know, if you're reading through in our Bible reading plan, you're going to be coming up to Joshua. I don't think I've got it here in front of me. The plan. Oh, there it is. You're going to be in Joshua. Let's see, where are you? You might be there now. Nope, that's like this weekend reading. It's this weekend's reading. I skipped ahead a little bit. But here we have Joshua. It's his farewell address. You know, they are coming in. They are in the promised land. Moses has gone on and passed on. Joshua has come in and has taken them into the promised land. And I want to share a little bit of his farewell address, because it's the end of Joshua here, but, oh, it's today. It certainly just hits us right today. Let's read Joshua 23. We'll start in verse 6. And he says, "Be very firm. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. but you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. And you know, as a people, that's how most of the European nations have been since Christianity was introduced to them, being the dispersion that James 1:1 talks of, the 12 tribes. They've been a Christian nation, and this Joshua 23 from 6 through 11 has applied to them. Now, there's been wars. They fought among themselves. We see that all throughout our Bible history. But for the most part, they've stood together and they've been Christian. Well, just the last few generations, that has changed there. It has changed quite a bit. Got a song for you. We'll be back right after this. His way of life, the Christian way of life that is under attack by far and large here. Well, the phone lines are open, folks. We're halfway through the program. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. We're reading in Joshua 23. We've just read how Joshua reminded the people, our people, to be firm, to keep all that is written, to take diligent heed to yourselves, to love the Lord your God. Let's read on, verse 12. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them, and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. And that is what has happened. That's what's happened over there in Europe, is the people have, they have turned from God. And God is keeping his word and bringing his wrath upon them. It is as simple as that. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to the Thursday night program.
Hey, Richard. How are you this evening? This is Willis.
Good evening, Willis. We are doing great. How are you guys?
Very good. Hey, I missed the first few minutes of your show, so if you mentioned this already, if you can stop me anytime. I just heard that the European Union is getting ready to admit Turkey as a member.
Okay.
A member state.
I have not. I hadn't talked about that tonight.
As a matter of fact, they're talking about fast tracking it to get it pushed through before this year's over. And from what I understand right now, Turkey has 3 million refugees their plan is to give them citizenship status in Turkey. And then once Turkey becomes a member of the EU, they can no longer migrate, but just freely go to Europe.
Yes. Yes.
And from there, since Europeans don't need to jump through hoops to get to the United States, they can come right over here.
Yeah. Yeah, that one quote I did have was from this Geert Wilders, who was over in... he's the Dutch Party for Freedom leader, and that was one thing he talked about, is that he says we have to close our national borders, the European Union's Schengen zone, where the border controls are, no border controls are allowed, is a catastrophe. He says the Belgian Moroccan Salah Absalom, the mastermind of last November's bloodbath in Paris. Remember where they shot, and I think that's the one they were blowing stuff up. They shot the one policeman and then walked up to him and just killed him right there in cold blood, and everybody watched it, and nobody's outraged. Oh, man, I saw a movie like that one time. That's what people think. But he says this guy traveled freely from Belgium to the Netherlands and, of course, to Paris and back on multiple occasions. And so you're right. It's just a continuation of the destruction of what was Christian Europe, and this is just another way. I have heard there's a movement underway in England to pull England out of to have them at least financially stop using the euro and go back to a British pound or something like that. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, but the EU is in a mess.
They've been talking about that for the last 6 months or a year or so, as far as financially pulling out of the EU. From what I remember hearing about that several months ago. But
I saw something just last week or two. But this with Poland, I had a. See if I still have it here. I had a note on something to do with Poland. Here it is. This was from yesterday. It said, Poland abandoned a pledge to shelter migrants under a European Union relocation agreement. Prime Minister Beata Szijjártó. Why can't they have simple names like Willis or Richard? I don't understand that. Anyway, shifting her country's stance a day after suicide bombers killed dozens of people in the bloc's de facto capital. They'd already agreed to host several thousand migrants, in dealing with the EU. And I think this must be part of them being brought in there. It says they made a pledge last year to shelter 160,000 refugees.
Whew. Yeah, but it's like sharks smelling blood.
It is.
They're in a frenzy.
But it's a good thing that our president is right on the ball. He is just responding like only he can. You know, he's down in Cuba with the rest of his communist buddies doing the wave at a communist baseball game. And then he's down in, where is he now? Down in Buenos Aires doing the tango. Cha, cha, cha. Hoo. Cha, cha, cha. And saying, you know, ISIS is no threat to the United States. Well, they sure are a threat to our neighbors, to our kinsmen over there.
Absolutely. On a positive note, I heard that the Republicans over in, I believe it was South Carolina, I think, just passed a law where if transgenders, basically having to do with this LGBT community, whatever they are, where if your birth certificate says you were a boy, then if you're in public school, you have to go to the boys' bathroom. And if it says you were a girl, then you have to go to the girls' bathroom. It's unfortunate they have to pass a law like that, but I guess a lot of the Democrats just walked out of the state house.
Imagine that. Imagine that here in this country now. Now, Willis, they passed those kind of laws in the European Union 10 to 20 years ago. Not those kind, but the opposite. Granting transgender rights in the public schools and in elementary schools. And you know, that is nothing but the homosexuals recruiting our children. That's
right.
All it is. You know, that's a big flag right here in little old Laramie. You know, because they've got four students that are transgender and their parents have brought it to the school board, and now they're presenting all these policies. It got out and local businesses had petitions that, you know, were petitioning the school board saying, listen, don't even go there, you know, with whatever if boys use boys' restrooms, girls use girls and locker rooms and everything else, and just don't even go there because it's just a step in the wrong direction. And they got like, 6 or 8,000 signatures in about a week. And this little town of 30,000 people.
That's the worst part of it. It's insanity.
And so,
many people are willing to go along with it.
Well,
you know?
Well, here it's the, you know, 6,000 people saying don't go there. Don't even, you know, entertain the thought. And, you know, you would think that they were, killing old people on the streets. The hate that has come out in the newspaper and in the letters to the editors and that kind of stuff, just for people saying what those people in Carolina voted for. Listen, if your birth certificate says you're male, you have to use a male restroom. I mean, did you ever think in your life that you would see something like that?
Never dreamed of it.
No. But these, you know, these that have been given over to a depraved mind, and I shared that with a person, I'll say, here in town, that let us know about the petition. I went up and signed it. That said, oh well, we've got to stop this, you know, we can't do this. And I said, absolutely, it is, because the homosexuals don't reproduce because they're unnatural. They have to recruit, and this is one of their recruitment methods. Boy, the lines start getting drawn there. I don't know if we can come against that. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because this very thing, you know, it's just commonplace over in Europe, over in Sweden and in Norway and in, you know, everywhere over there. And it's been that way for almost a generation. And I think God's finally said, listen, enough is enough. You're going to be that way? I'm going to wipe you out like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, that's just about what's happening to those European nations, because these untold numbers of Muslims are coming in from everywhere, and they are literally destroying Europe. And then, like you said, they're being granted citizenship, and then it's nothing to come over here.
Absolutely. Yeah, even with that law they passed there in Carolina, or South—I believe it was South Carolina—uh, I guess a lot of the big corporations are talking about equality and can we do business here. And NCAA is talking about how they may not host any more of their college basketball games in the South Carolina because they're not diverse and they passed this monstrous law.
So. And we don't think it can happen here. You know, I got a quote here. Where is it? From Pope Francis. Those who are indifferent to migrants are like Pontius Pilate. You know, Muslim and Mexican migrants are like Christ. People who reject migrants are like those who crucified Christ. And see, they call them migrants, it's not changing subject with what you're saying, Willis, because it is. You either go along with this, you know, you either go along with these homosexuals that want to rape your boys and my boys. You either go along with that, or we're not going to do business with you. We're going to walk out. This is a democracy. Sure. We'll all vote on it, right? The majority rules, unless we don't like it, and then we're going to walk out on it. And you better let these migrants come in. You speak out. I'm looking at the headlines here. British man arrested after posting anti-Muslim tweets on the Brussels attack for tweeting public media saying, you know, talking about how he asked a Muslim woman, you know, to explain the Brussels attacks. She said, well, I didn't have anything to do with that. And he's like, well, you know, aren't you a Muslim? And Muslims did it. That was it. They arrested him in Britain. They arrested him for tweeting about this. And so don't think that that's not next here. You speak out against these homosexuals. And I think that's why the women are getting raped in Norway. That's why the women are getting raped in Sweden. Because the men have been castrated by this ungodly antichrist system.
Yep, that's absolutely. It's just, even in Germany, what was that, over the New Year's holiday or Christmas, New Year's 30-day period, they had over 5,000 assaults.
And you think, are there no men there at all? Did all the men stay home and just the women go out at night? You know, I don't think it's that way. But see, the men are scared. They have been neutered. They have been, you know, we have cattle here on the ranch. And we've got a few feeder cattle up here, you know, steers. And if you're going to eat these cows, these you know, bulls, you have either bulls or cows. If you're going to eat them, you castrate them. They're a lot easier to deal with. They gain weight faster. It's just better handling. And the children are out there feeding them. And you can just, I went out and took a picture of one this afternoon. And yeah, I'm 5 feet away from him. He's looking at me like, you got some more food for me? You know, he don't care. When the butcher comes out, you know, you walk right up to him, boom, shoot him. They don't, you know, they ain't nothing to it. Now, the bulls that are out with the herd, that's a different story. That's a different story all along. You don't turn your back on those bulls. Now, we have very, very good bulls that have a very good disposition, okay? We don't have ornery range bulls, but we've had them in the past. And I got neighbors that have them. And, you know, it's night and day. And you don't get out there, especially when them cows are starting to go in the heat and they're breeding and stuff. You don't get out there. You can't. Them bulls will take care of you. But see, our enemy knows that. And our enemy, 10, 20 years ago, they were passing these LGBT transgender laws in the EU. And they know that brings the wrath of God down on his people. And that's just
Absolutely.
What's happening. And the people here, that's the point I'm trying to get across. You know, about the only thing we can do for our brothers in England and over in the European Union is pray for them. Pray they repent. But guess what, folks? Guess what's coming here? And you think, oh, well, we'd never let them do that. I'd shoot that Muslim, you know what, blah, blah, blah. Well, you hear that. You know, but you give it 10 years worth of getting arrested for tweeting Bible scriptures about homosexuals or Bible scriptures about these foreigners coming in. And you get 10 years of being arrested for that. And the people here will be just like the people in the EU. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, these Judeo-Christian pastors that they're teaching their flocks to be tolerant.
Yeah.
of this homosexuality and the lesbianism and the migrants, and you know, God loves everybody, and you know, the whole thing. The majority of the people have open arms right now.
Yeah. Oh, there's a group. I saw a thing here. A group down in Colorado that did that very thing. You know, here you got Muslims bombing, killing our people in Brussels, and they're just welcoming. Oh, we need to have more of these poor refugees come over. We need to open our homes to them and bring them in. It's insanity. It's absolute insanity. You know, a few years ago, we thought the invasion that we're getting from our southern neighbors was bad, from the Guatemalans and the illegal immigrants coming in from our south. You know, that was nothing. That was nothing compared to what is going on in the EU, and I think what's planned for here.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and that enemy, our enemy knows that if he can get our people to be more sinful and tolerant of all this going on, that God will and has, I'm sure, in the process of removing that protection and letting us pay for our sins nationally.
And I think, I think he's done it to them as an example for us. You know, he's done it to them because of their sin. And it is an example to us. We can either look at it and say, well, you know, dang, we just need to open up our borders and bring all those people in here too. And just hopefully it'll get better. Or we can do, as Ezekiel 14:3 says, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. And that means all your sins, and return to him. If the Christians in the EU would do that, the Muslims would go home. They'd have to.
Amen.
They would have to.
Amen. That's right. It's just like when God worked in Pharaoh's heart and hardened his heart against letting Israel go.
Yes.
You know, there's a big lesson there. And he can harden that heart, or he can soften that heart.
He can.
He can turn them either direction.
You know, Joshua 23, we read it. You know, you be very firm. Be diligent. Be diligent. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. He does not tell us to welcome these ungodly ends. He tells us just the opposite. Don't serve them. Don't serve their gods. Don't be like them. Well, Willis, two other phone lines are ringing. Let me try to get them before the evening's up. Thanks so much for the call.
Hi, Richard. Appreciate the show here tonight. You have a good one.
God bless. And we'll... lost that one. Let's try this one. Caller, thanks for calling. Hey, good evening.
Hello.
Hey, good evening. Got to turn your radio off real quick.
Okay.
It's let Israel go. It's a big lesson there. And he can harden that heart, or he can soften that heart. He can't turn me the direction.
You know, Joshua 23, we read
Got to get that radio off.
Be very firm. Be diligent. Be diligent. Take diligent heed to yourselves. To love the Lord your God. He does not tell us to welcome these ungodly ends. He tells us just to...
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, good evening. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from a small Midwestern town.
Okay. Well, we're live on the air. Did you have a comment?
Oh, yeah, you guys are doing real good.
Well,
I've been listening to you, and you're doing real good.
Well, appreciate it. Hope it's making some people open their eyes and see some of the things that are going on out there.
I don't know about that. Maybe. But I had some questions.
Okay.
Is this a good time to ask some questions about the late Pastor Peters?
Well, you know, we got about five more minutes here, and so on the radio tonight. I'd be glad to give you our office number. If you want to give me a call during the day, that might work out better.
Okay.
Yeah, do you have something to write with? Well, the office number, the call-in number here is different than the office number. The office number during the day is 307 area code 742-7582.
Let me get a light. 307-742-7582.
And that's the office number. If you want to give me a call tomorrow, I'll be in the office, and I'll see if I can get your questions answered.
Can you give that to me one more time?
307-742-7582.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Well, got a couple minutes left here. The call-in number tonight, different than that. Call-in number, 307-745-5913. And, well, anyway, that's how I see what is going on in Europe. It is certainly because of their sin, because they are of the dispersion. They are the people that the old covenant was made with. The promises to Abraham, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, it's who the old covenant was made with. It's the same people that the new covenant is made with. And they are the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They didn't go out of existence. Yeah, they were put into captivity, but they didn't. They fulfilled the promise of being as the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, the dispersion. And that's who settled the European nations. And out of them, of course, guess who settled this nation? Same racial kindred stock. Same people. Sinless? No. No. We get the benefit. We can be, you know, the Bible talks about the sons of hell that are out there. But we can become twofold more sons of hell. But we can also repent. We can also repent. And that's what we're told to do. We read that in Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. Judges 2:2-3 tells us, it's God speaking. He says, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you've done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. And that is exactly what's happened overseas. And guess what, folks? It's what is happening here. We might be 10 years behind what has happened over there, but it's getting faster and faster. And the things that we are seeing here, the sin in the land, the total disregard for God, the total disregard for Jesus Christ, the total disregard for His Word, His law, society saying, you will let us have transgender bathrooms. We will teach your children homosexual education. That's already happened overseas. And look where it got them. We better return. We better. While we still have time, while it is still day. I think I'm going to go out with Psalms 51, and may try to bring this for a scriptural insight sometime on Sunday morning. We'll invite you to church Sunday morning with us, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. I think we'll go out with this. This is David, Psalms 51. We'll start in verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that they may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, that's what he desires. That's what he requires, is repentance. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Repentance. Repentance. It really is as simple as that. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Again, this has been Ranch Wrangler Richard. And if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. We'll be right back.